From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, February 5th. I'm Abby Lurico. In St. Louis, rumors around a mass deployment of federal officials to carry out immigration raids have the community on edge. That's even when no such plans have been announced. Immigration advocates say there is heightened enforcement in the area, but they're not mass raids like we've seen in Minnesota.
It's not a flashbang. It's not a big public event. Honestly, it's very mundane and administrative.
St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz takes a closer look at how misinformation and immigration enforcement intersect locally. That story's coming up on The Gateway. An organization that provides support to individuals detained by immigration agents says it is in favor of St. Louis's proposed ban on detention facilities that aren't owned by the city. 7th Ward Alderwoman Alicia Saunier plans to introduce legislation Friday that prevents city departments from approving any of those buildings for 5 years. That would include federal immigration detention facilities. Chris DePalma is the president of Abide in Love St. Louis. She says it is possible that taking such a stand could make St. Louis a target for harsher enforcement, but she says she wants local elected officials to be courageous.
Local government resources should not be used in ways that create fear or family separation.
Kansas City approved its own moratorium late last month after reports the federal government was looking at the city for an immigration detention center. Mayor Kara Spencer says she is unaware of any similar plans for St. Louis. A local nonprofit has been taking groups of public officials on out-of-state trips to visit large data centers. St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports on newly obtained emails that reveal details about one of those trips.
Greater St. Louis, Inc. arranged a December trip to tour a Google data center in Nebraska. Along for the ride were officials from Ameren, Madison County and Troy, Illinois, and Festus and Jefferson County, Missouri. Developers hope to build data centers in both Troy and Festus. Officials paid for their airfare, but Greater St. Louis, Inc. paid for their hotels and ground transportation. The organization called the trips educational. Troy City Manager Jay Keevan went on the Nebraska trip.
I walked away with a little better understanding, but still a lot more questions.
A Greater St. Louis, Inc. spokesperson says it has hosted other trips, but did not specify where and how many. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Somehow, it's already election season. Early voting begins today in Illinois. Under state law, early voting starts 40 days prior to an election. The primary is March 17th. Early voting locations will open in phases across Madison and St. Clair counties. The county administration buildings in Edwardsville and Belleville will be the first available locations. Mail-in ballots will also be sent out today. Voters can request one, though, until March 12th. Illinoisans will need to decide who will replace retiring U.S. Senator Dick Durbin. Three prominent Democrats hope to replace him: Rajna Krishnamoorthy, Robin Kelly, and Juliana Stratton. Four Republicans are also competing to take on Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. They include Darren Bailey, Ted Dabrowski, Rick Heidner, and James Mendrick. Locally, Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski has a primary challenger in Dylan Blaha. Republicans Jeff Wilson and Joshua Lloyd are competing for the GOP nomination in the district that covers most of the Metro East. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer has been speaking with candidates in Illinois on the Politically Speaking podcast, including today Republican Jeff Wilson, a Champaign County board member who wants to be his party's nominee to flip the U.S. seat currently occupied by Budzinski. As Will reports, Wilson believes his experience as a naval submariner and retired nuclear engineer will bode well for him in the GOP primary.
Wilson believes a Republican can win the district that covers Urbana-Champaign, Springfield, and most of the Metro East. Currently, Cook Political Report has it rated as a safe seat for Democrats in the midterms, but Wilson says he isn't deterred.
It's still winnable because the heart of the issue is really affordability and economics and common sense. And I'm a common sense conservative. I believe in solutions that benefit our society, that benefits us here in Illinois.
Wilson is a Trump supporter. His campaign also aims to secure the border, defend law enforcement, and expand nuclear energy to lower utility costs. He faces Joshua Lloyd, who won the nomination in 2024 and the primary. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
To hear more of that interview, you can find Politically Speaking at stlpr.org or wherever you find podcasts like this one. Advocates for the homeless in St. Louis are calling for a permanent shelter on the city's west side. St. Louis Public Radio's Katie Gravich reports.
Members of the Wellston Loop Community Development Corporation and the Eco-Socialist Green Party of Eastern Missouri met with homeless residents Wednesday. They said it would take Wellston Loop residents 2 to 3 hours to walk to the nearest city-run warming station. Tierra Adams is the nutritionist for the Community Development Corporation. She lost her housing after the May 16th tornado. She says the corporation's daytime shelter alone cannot meet every homeless resident's needs.
This is Show Me State, so let's show something. Let's help these people. Let's show, if no one else is doing it anywhere else, let the Show Me State be the first one to show how it's done.
A city spokesperson says they've doubled emergency capacity this winter and are providing transportation for those in Wellston Loop. They say they are in conversations with a potential provider about opening a shelter on the city's west side. I'm Katie Gravich, St. Louis Public Radio.
We've talked this week about the announcement that Olympic soccer is coming to St. Louis as part of the LA 28 Summer Games. But in the meantime, we have World Cup soccer coming to Missouri this year. And the reigning World Cup champs, captained by perhaps the greatest player in the world, have chosen the Kansas City host site as their base camp for the summer tournament. In a statement, the Argentinian national team called Kansas City ideal because it's centrally located and the delegation will be most comfortable. Argentinian forward Lionel Messi was named the world's best player 8 times by FIFA and countless more times by my 12-year-old nephew, who lives in Kansas City, is a huge soccer fan, and is probably wearing a Messi jersey right now. Right now doesn't even matter when you're listening to this podcast. It's pretty much all he wears. The Argentinian team will train and live in Kansas City for the duration of the month-long event, which includes its June 16th match at Arrowhead against Algeria. President Donald Trump's second term in office has been marked by a sharp shift in immigration policy and enforcement efforts, including deadly confrontations in Minneapolis. While St. Louis hasn't seen immigration raids like those, and the Trump administration hasn't announced any, community members are still on edge about the possibility. St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz has this report.
I'm walking along Cherokee Street, an economic hub of St. Louis's Hispanic community. That's where I find Diana's Bakery, a stout building nestled between a row of brownstones, and Anna Vasquez. She's owned the shop for nearly 20 years.
¿Cómo estás?
Bien. Mucho gusto verla.
We chat while passing under a sign that states federal immigration agents do not have the authority to enter her business without a judicial warrant. While bustling workers bake Mexican pastries, breads, and move about, things are not as they once were in Vasquez's community.
Con la mayoría de los clientes que hemos hablado, ellos tienen miedo al salir de la casa.
With a majority of our clients we've talked to, they're afraid to leave home, go shopping, simply go to the doctor, or go to their kids' schools because of the fear of not coming home.
In St. Louis, community members say fear, largely fueled by nationwide immigration enforcement actions and fast-spreading misinformation, has led families to stay home, students to miss school, and businesses to quietly adapt as they brace for the possibility of mass deployments of federal agents, even in the absence of confirmed activity.
This is absolutely fomenting fear. It's causing students, some, to stay home from school, to miss the education that they're entitled to. And that's the obstacle, the new obstacle that we've been dealing with.
That's Rittner School District Superintendent Chris Kilbride. He says the district has seen a 5% drop in attendance among its Hispanic and English language learner population in January alone.
If people think that kids are not getting caught up in this political divisiveness around the country, kids absolutely are.
The district is getting an average of 6 calls a day about unverified claims of immigration enforcement officials leading raids or detentions. Social media isn't helping. On any given day, posts light up with often unverified rumors of federal agent sightings or images of random vehicles perceived to be undercover immigration officials. Emily Stewart is a volunteer with the St. Louis-based Rapid Response Line. The program is made up of a coalition of immigrant support groups that tracks ICE activity and provides support to people without legal status who are detained.
Reiterating unconfirmed or unverified sightings, it instills a level of fear in the community that is both traumatizing and redirects them from what the actual potential risk is.
Stewart explains that the majority of people in federal detention are there largely through interactions with their local police departments, even if they don't have a formal agreement with ICE, and not like the big raids you may see in Minneapolis or suburban Chicago.
We encourage the community to remain vigilant and to continue to keep their eyes out in support of the safety of their neighbors, but also understanding that a lot of this is happening through established channels the way it's always happened. And it's not a flashbang. It's not a big public event. Honestly, it's very mundane and administrative.
We reached out to ICE for comment, but did not immediately hear back. St. Louis's rapid response volunteers say the uptick in misinformation has only grown since the killings of Minnesota residents Renee Nicole Good and Alex Preddy by federal immigration agents last month.
Say it once, say it twice, we will not put up with ICE.
Frozen breaths rise in the cold air at the park outside Union Station as protesters gather on the anniversary of Donald Trump's second inauguration. Jennifer DeGraff is from Glen Carbon. She's holding a sign that says Justice for Renee Nicole Good.
We never thought it would happen here. It's here.
Hey, hey.
And we have to take action. And it's just, it's not going to stop. It starts in Minneapolis. Where is it going to stop?
Protesters here say while the future is unknown, this is a small way they can show solidarity with their neighbors who continue to live in fear. I'm Brian Munoz, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Public Radio's education reporter Hiba Ahmed contributed to this story. It was edited by our Jessica Rogan. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.